Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Sun is not up yet, but it will be soon, and it'll be another warm day in the Big D here as we're in day two, featuring today the Tennessee Volunteers and the Georgia Bulldogs this morning. The Oklahoma Sooners come in for the first time doing SEC Media Days this afternoon, along with Alma, Arkansas's own Eli Drinkowitz and the Missouri Tigers to round out the day.
Venables entering his first SEC Media Day. Sark is used to the SEC, but not necessarily in this position with the Texas Longhorns. And I know people have questions about what it's like with Texas and Oklahoma now being in the league. I will give fan bases this, and Greg Sankey kind of alluded to it yesterday. They're both nuts.
Both places you saw the passion for their programs play out, and then in individual interactions while I walked around campus running on Sunday morning in Austin or Monday morning in Norman with a logo on and people doing a double take. It was fun to see in those communities displays of the SEC logo. And I learned that both clearly meet the what one of our athletics directors called the it just means more test. So that avid fan base that I spoke of, both Oklahoma and Texas bring that same type of avid fan base to a set of peer universities and peer athletic programs.
There is plenty of criticism to go around to the Texas Longhorns and the Oklahoma Sooners, but you at least have to give them credit for how much they care about their football programs.
Yeah. And he was referencing his visits at the last day of June and first day of July when they came into the conference. He also spoke to the heat and humidity wearing a tuxedo inside a football stadium when it's 100 degrees, how comfortable that was. But, listen, no one ever thought that Texas or OU didn't have rabid fans that fit this league. They bring national branding and historic football programs. This is going to be fun. Is it going to make the challenge of a lot of other schools in this league more difficult? Yes. But today, to me, is really the start of their membership of the SEC with OU and Texas in a day or two.
Yeah, and I listened to Lane Kiffin talk. We'll get into some of his comments. What he was talking about with Sark and just being in the league. And it is different. One coach is, again, coached in the Southeastern Conference. Another is not. And it's like on the challenges, here's what he said about Sark previously and being in Alabama.
I mean, they were in the Final Four last year, and a lot of players coming back, continue to add great high school players and portal players. So I think they're one of the elite rosters in America. You know, Sark would know well the challenges, so it's not like he's coming with a team in the SEC with a coach that hasn't been. So I think he understands that, and that conference was competitive too.
And that's one of the reasons I cited that I've unfortunately had to cite that I think Texas is going to be successful. I did see that Nick Saban and I have the same SEC championship game, which is Texas and Georgia yesterday. Saban here yesterday. I've got two funny stories about Nick Saban that we'll share later on in the program. But I know sometimes being in a league as an assistant doesn't necessarily equate to having success as a head coach. I just think that gives Sark a little bit more of an advantage than, let's say, Brent Venables, and their roster is a little bit better than Oklahoma's as well.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know that the experience in the league, I don't want to overstate that. I think the fact that he's got a really good roster is the reason we should think that they're going to be competitive this year. We saw evidence of it last year, a lot of returning players from that team, and more importantly, Quinn Ewers. So, I think this, your pick of Texas or Saban's pick of Texas or anyone that thinks that they're going to be you know, in the hunt for the SEC championship game is it should be based on their roster, not necessarily, you know, a coach's resume and how many games he's coached in this conference.
Speaking of rosters, you had a chance to not only catch up with a few coaches, as Tommy referenced, but some players as well. You get a chance to hear some other guys today, like Carson Beck, Jackson Arnold, the new incoming Oklahoma quarterback, and then also Brady Cook and Luther Burden for Missouri. While two guys that were on Arkansas last year were not in attendance yesterday, both of their coaches sung praise for both Rocket Sanders, Shane Beamer now with him at South Carolina, and then Lane Kiffin was very high on Chris Poupall. One is going to impact you more than the other, having to play Chris Poupall this next season, but Lane was like, yeah, we played this guy, and he was tearing us up, so we were happy to get him on campus, and I'd argue that's one of your biggest losses of this last offseason.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, you know, Lane referred to it openly throughout his 30 minutes as free agency, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what it is, and, you know, while he would prefer maybe some different rules of engagement in this league, these are the rules we have now, so you got to be really good at the rules you have now, and that was Lane's take on what it is, and I think that's a very reasonable assessment.
I will give Kiffin this. Kiffin has advocated for change and this not being the best fit for college football, but he's still having success in the current model. We talked with Richard Cross a little bit yesterday. There is a full investment, I guess, with the Grove Collective from that fan base, and that's why Ole Miss had the best transfer portal haul in the entire country last year. I don't think you would be able to say that if NIL wasn't in place. So that is interesting. Speaking of NIL, Arkansas had some changes within their program that were announced publicly that we'll get into as well.
Yeah, so, you know, not even the stability you need within your own NIL program, you know, at Arkansas right now. Hey, we're brought to you by the Hickey and Hole Law Partners, four locations around the state. They're in Little Rock, they're in Mena, they're in Fort Smith, and Northwest Arkansas. 479-434-2414 to get a hold of Kevin or Brad. They can help you with a family law matter. They can help you with criminal matters. They can help you with maybe a business contract issue you've got coming up. Maybe you're trying to purchase a business and close and go through all the steps that are required there. You need a trusted hand that's, you know, guided others through a similar process that knows exactly what's, knows what's up. So give a call to Kevin Hickey and Brad Hull. 479-434-2414. 434-2414, four locations in our state. Find more details online at kevinhickeylaw.com.
All right, we're going to jump into more of what Greg Sankey, Lane Kiffin, and also Brian Kelly pulled out another accent. This is actually something that he's from, so I get it, but he went Irish on us yesterday. He is Irish Catholic, but I thought it was funny. He really leaned into it when he was asked about the possibility of LSU playing in Ireland at some point in time. We'll also, again, play the audio of that national anthem at the Home Run Derby last night, which was pretty crazy. We'll touch on that NIL, plus some baseball and basketball news for the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's all coming your way live from Radio Row in Dallas, Texas.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McCarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McCarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McCarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline. The game starts here.
The sun is out.
Oh, boy, is it.
So we're going to play this Beatles song as we bring Tyler in this morning with Here Come the Sun.
Yeah.
Guys, it's a beautiful morning here in Dallas, Texas. I know people in Oklahoma are excited about Britt Venables coming to the podium. One of the things, Tyler, we were talking about on Sunday is when Arkansas will travel for basketball and baseball. Of course, it's going to be fun in 3 or 4 years whenever they make the trip to Norman, assuming that happens. But basketball, baseball, it's going to be pretty timely, and there's going to be a lot of Arkansas fans that make that trek.
Hang on, we got to put a quarter in your microphone.
There we go. Yeah.
I don't doubt it because, Ty, you and I were both at the OU-Arkansas basketball games in Tulsa, which is kind of the middle ground for both schools. And what would you say, that Arkansas kind of routinely had 80-20, the crowd split that's there? Arkansas just...
We seem to have one less about every time, though. Something happened to our coach at the end of the
game. Two out of the past three times he's got thrown out there. Now you threw him out to the West Coast. Yeah. So both of our programs hate someone that's currently at USC. So that's fantastic. The baseball support is getting better. The basketball support is only there if they're really good and exciting to watch. So, yeah. Football, they support it like crazy. Softball, they support it better than anyone in the country. But basketball, baseball's got a way to go for sure.
Well, listen, I don't want to be ugly, but let's just get this out of the way. Lloyd Nobles it's not up to SEC standards. That's as nice as I can be. What are they going to do about that?
You're being way too nice.
I know.
It's
you
a
that
bomb
well.
Shelter. Is all it is. That's what it is.
It's a dump.
It's going to be
easily the worst basketball facility in the SEC, and it won't be close.
You know what? Normally, if you talk about someone's stadium or an arena to an opposing fan base, they get mad, right?
Yeah, I didn't want you to come across the table.
OU fans will like you. I mean, Tommy, I don't know how they feel about you right now or how you feel about them.
I don't.
But OU fans will be like, I like this Tommy Kraft guy. He's talking bad about the LNC. Yeah, they're trying to get a new arena. They're trying to with an entire entertainment district around it. That's currently the goal. I don't know if that'll happen in Norman. Maybe it could happen outside of Norman potentially, but they're trying to remedy that.
They'll spend the money on urinals at the football stadium to get rid of the troughs. They're not going to spend it on basketball over there.
Now, you referenced softball. I think that maybe the most underrated part of Oklahoma joining, and I say underrated, they won 4 straight, but like when they come to Bogle Park for the first time, that game's going to be nuts.
It's their best program, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Without question.
And OU's been a good athletic program since 2000, but it was brought up to me recently. What is the entire OU athletic program, if not for college softball, recently? Now, they've won men's and women's gymnastics championships, but, guys, people are starved for a football title. It's the longest drought currently in between national championships that Oklahoma has experienced before. So they're starved for it, and softball is really they've won a ton of titles since 2000. You mentioned the 4 straight there, so... Yeah, you'll see OU go on the road to Iowa State. You'll see OU go on the road to like Louisiana Lafayette and places to where normally they just want softball fans to show up. You know, they don't pay any admission, just show up to the game.
Yeah.
When Oklahoma comes to town, they actually charge admission, and they're still standing room only in a crazy crowd.
We're talking with, again, Tyler McComas, who, by the way, Tommy, also hosts a program called The Rush, so we're kind of in kin this morning. Tyler, we were talking about records before the show, and he knows this. I'm very high on Texas, low on Oklahoma. I think they're probably in that 7-5 range. I don't see them being able to navigate the SEC as quick as some. Give me a rebuttal of sorts that why Oklahoma will be better than I perceive them to be in 2024.
Because, and I know this is going to sound crazy, I think they have a chance to be a top 3 defense in the SEC. And that's no disrespect to the new conference. It's not the new guy walking in saying, this is Oklahoma. They're immediately. They've built this defense. And also, guys, that should be the case. Why did you hire Brent Venables if you didn't think by year 3 you were going to be really good on defense? And that's where they're at. And I don't think that the defense is going to be really good this year, Ty, because I like the starting 11. The starting 11 that they're going to throw out there in game 1 – It's really about the depth and the two deep that they have. They're really good at linebacker, led by Danny Stutzman, who's got a chance to be an all-SEC player.
Perkins.
He was an All-American.
Perkins
never heard of him, but the secondary's good. The defensive line, they're better than they've been in a while. They got Dominic Williams, the big transfer portal ad. They got their first five-star interior defensive lineman in a long time. They've got another one, his IMG teammate, Jaden Jackson, who's a four-star that was awesome in the spring. So they still
got... What
about
that Wallard kid from Miami?
Caden Wallard. Yeah, Wallard. I mean, a defensive end. But there's competition to see if he's going to start. The pass rush has got to be a little bit more consistent. Not that it was bad last year. But my rebuttal, Ty, would be that... this is going to be the best defense that OU's had in over a decade. And I know the bar for that hasn't been extremely high recently, but if people expect Oklahoma just to be a program that is a high-flying offense, scoring 40 points a game, but they're giving 40 points up as easily, that's not the case with Oklahoma anymore. Not that they're not capable on offense, they are, but this is a program that is defensively led. And again, that's why you hired Brent Venables. Mm-hmm. You hired, he's one of the most accomplished defensive coordinators in all of college football that we've seen. This is why you hired him, and this is what this team looks like. It was led by its defense last year, and I think absolutely it will be led by its defense this year.
All right, so quarterback's Jackson Arnold, sophomore kid. Tell us about him, and is he ready to fit? Because where I think Ty may be on the right side is, OU hadn't faced the defensive lines that they're going to see week in, week out. They might get one or two a year in the Big 12. Now it's every week. Can Jackson Arnold handle what's coming across the board? Maybe not from Arkansas when they eventually play, but when you start playing the Georgias and the Alabamas of this league, the LSUs, they got some grown men up there.
I don't question just the overall ceiling and the overall talent level of Jackson Arnold. For what you need him to be this year to be a 9-10 win team, I think he's that type of talent. The arm strength that he has, I mean, the dude really throws the deep ball well, and I think that you're going to see that this year with this OU offense. I think his ability to be mobile and run around a bit and make plays, he's not a run-first type of guy, but he's really athletic. And some of the throws that he made in the Alamo Bowl, and I know they had three interceptions in the Alamo Bowl. It was his first start, and I think two of those picks were on the first three, four drives of the game. It happened, so I know that you can't take that away from the game, but if you take away the first four drives of his first start ever, it's pretty good after that. And you saw him make some high-level throws. But the question to me, Tommy, is can the offensive line protect him? Because when people talk about question marks in the SEC, for all teams, it feels like OU's offensive line, I hear more about that than most other weaknesses in the conference.
And you got a left tackle out of Florida, the Tarquin kid, or is that how you
say Michael
it?
Tarquin? Yeah,
yeah. You know, he's got some SEC experience. He's going to be one of three new offensive linemen that are projected to start for OU.
You're going to be new basically all across the board. Fabechi Wiwu is from North Texas. You got Branson Hickman from SMU.
That's a big get.
I think that was a big get because they had an injury at center in the spring. I think their starting five on the offensive line can be good, can be solid. I don't know how much depth they have there, guys. So all of that to say, it goes back to Jackson Arnold. I think the talent level of Jackson Arnold's there. He was a five-star for a reason, and the natural ability, like he's got a chance to be a really good player. But how good of a player is he going to be if they can't protect him this year and they don't have a consistent run game?
So what about the wide receivers?
Excellent. That's the strength of their offense. Deion Burks, the transfer from Purdue, I'm sure you guys know about him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a star. Nick Anderson, who caught the game-winning touchdown pass against Texas last year, he's going into his third year. Really good player. Brennan Thompson, who's transferred from Texas a couple of years ago, is going to be probably the fastest guy they have on the team, and all you really want is to him to run straight about 9 or 10 times a game so you can throw it to him deep. It's the strength of the offense, and I think OU's wide receiver core could be one of the best in the SEC. So that'll help out a young quarterback for sure. And, man, they got a lot of speed and athleticism there.
Yeah. It's been, I don't know, what year was that, 2002? Alabama came to Norman. I was at that game. I mean, as big time an atmosphere as you're going to get, particularly close to 25 years ago. So this won't be the first time that, OU and Norman has hosted – major college football events and teams of this caliber. They've done it frequently. They always have a great non-conference opponent seemingly on the schedule. So I think the fans are going to, I mean, as far as what the show that will be put on Saturdays, I don't think OU's going to have any problem there.
So put yourself in the shoes of just a normal college football fan here. And season tickets aren't cheap anywhere, and they're certainly not cheap at Oklahoma. So you tell me which two-year stretch of home conference games you'd rather have. Here's what OU's had the last 2 years. Kansas State, Kansas, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, UCF, West Virginia, TCU. Those are their home conference games the last 2 years. Okay. And by the way, a lot of those games are at 11 a.m. Your next 2 years, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, LSU, Auburn, Ole Miss,
who's who?
Missouri. What would you rather pay for? So I think at times...
Pay more for.
I think at times the fan base has been critical of itself, that maybe the home atmospheres haven't been what it needs to be. Well, you've been playing a bunch of crap opponents at terrible kickoff times.
Yeah.
So I truly believe whatever the best version of a home game at Oklahoma is going to be, you're about to see it because the games are about to be a lot better. You're about to have better kickoff times, and everyone understands the importance of what home field advantage really means in the SEC and how important it is.
I think one of the really cool things that has come out of this expansion in Texas and OU is this announcement of game times well in advance of the season, at least by day part. You know, you're going to be in a flex game, afternoon game, evening game. Hey, you're at 11 a.m. I think that's great for the fans. And if Texas and OU is part of the reason, then more, you know, thank you for being a part of that.
Nobody was happier than OU.
Yeah.
Because 11 a.m. games, it's just such a sore subject for the fan base. OU played 12 regular season games last year.
But that's the prime time in the old league.
Seven 11 a.m. games, yeah. Guys. Seven out of your 12 games? And yeah, sure, Fox will tell you, well, hey, we put it there for a reason. Like, this is you get a lot of ratings here. Oklahoma's not a small-time football program. You feel like a small-time football program when over half of your games are at 11 a.m.
Yeah, that would be frustrating to me as well. Again, we're talking with Tyler McComas. He's the host of The Ref across Norman and Tulsa with us this morning. Tyler, we've talked college football for about 15 minutes with you. I do want to ask you about Oklahoma City and Jalen Williams and Isaiah Joe, two guys that are Arkansas fellas. And Isaiah just signed that four-year, $48 million contract in the offseason. I've heard Tommy about this, and I agree. I didn't think the NBA would work in Oklahoma. Sure enough, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, that little stint. Now they got some young guys now. What have you thought about those two Arkansas players that have been a huge part of this team in the young building process?
So they're a part of this nucleus, but it's pretty cool to see because OKC was bad for a few years.
Yeah,
and interest really dropped. You know, I'm sure you guys hear about Loud City. It's one of the toughest playoff environments in all in the NBA. And OKC, when they're really good especially, has always had this more of a college feel to it versus NBA. You'd like to get that college feel to Lloyd Noble Center and Gallagher-Iba Arena and across the state of Oklahoma. But they are a part of a nucleus tie that is beloved to kind of how that Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden era was in OKC when OKC first really got good and they got it going. Like, that was kind of a core group that everyone around the city really rallied around. And those guys are a part of that. Like, this is a team that, will they win an NBA championship? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. They were one seed last year. They'll have a good chance to be that again. But, man, you talk about two beloved players in a group that everyone just loves, ready to support for the coming years. It's pretty awesome.
You mentioned Gallagher-Iba right next to Gallagher-Iba's Boone Pickens Stadium. I mean, they're literally deadlocked next to each other. Arkansas's got its second game of the season against Mike Gundy, who made some interesting comments last week at Big 12 Media Days. What can you tell our audience about what Oklahoma State brings into that opening, or excuse me, the second game of the season for the Hawks?
Well, you guys know about Ollie Gordon. I don't really have to tell you much there.
Heard he's going to play.
He's going to play all right. So run game will be solid for Oklahoma State. Alan Bowman, who I think he's probably 38 years old now, going to be their starting quarterback. They've got good receiver play. Rashad Owens is a nice player, and Oklahoma State's had good receiver play for a while. So that's what to expect from Oklahoma State. They're going to run the rock. They're going to try to get it in favorable passing situations and throw the ball downfield. And they got a couple of nice defenders this year as well. Nick Martin, one of those guys. I don't think that this is going to be some banner Oklahoma State defense.
Yep.
But that's a big game for Oklahoma State. That feels like that's a really big game for Arkansas earlier in the year. I don't know if you guys look at that as one of the more important games on the schedule for Arkansas, just kind of where it's at on the schedule.
I do.
But will Oklahoma State be better than a year ago? I think they could be slightly better than a year ago. Their odds, like, they don't have the you know, best odds to win the Big 12. You're going to see that with Utah. You're going to see that with Kansas State. And then you're talking about kind of Oklahoma State after the fact on that. But Oklahoma State will be they'll be a solid football team.
I think it's a huge game for Sam Pittman. He's already had a couple of high-level in-state recruits commit elsewhere, including Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah, too.
And if it goes sour early in the year, the 25 and 26 classes are a little more loaded. So I think it's a big, big game for Sam Pittman to gain some momentum, particularly from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah, Omarion Robinson and Marcus Wimberly, I'm sure that hasn't sat well with Hawkeyes.
No, it's not been good for Sam at all.
But those two players are, I mean, excellent. Omarion Robinson is a fringe top 100 player. I think Marcus Wimberly is severely underrated.
Yeah. So win there and you know, don't want to get greedy and say, and a win at Auburn and being 4-0 would go a long ways, but it obviously would go a long ways. But you got to win one of, in my mind, you got to win one of those two games. And you can't look like crap in both. And that's Oklahoma State and Auburn, and you better win the other two non-conference games that are around those as well.
I mean, hey, I hope Arkansas has a good year. I just – the one game on Arkansas' schedule that I care about, and I don't know if I'll be doing the hog call during it or anything, but just go ahead and go beat Texas again.
Yeah.
Just no big deal.
We all agree
just,
on
just
that.
Go, just go beat Texas again. And you know what I love is that – this is only day two, but I feel like I've already heard a lot here at SEC Media Day, and whether it's – Auburn media or Tennessee media, everyone's got the same of, God, Texas is really arrogant. God, I mean, okay. Texas. Hey, I've known this for all 34 years of my life. I could have told you this a long time ago, but people in the conference are finally figuring out, like, God, this is kind of an arrogant group, huh?
Okay, so I think they're the most hated fan base, hated university in all of college athletics. Because, and here's why I think that. You know, we're not wild about Alabama, but we respect them. We kind of get along. LSU, you know, we find some common ground somewhere. Auburn, there's a lot of teams, but I don't know any fan base anywhere that likes Texas, that can find common ground with Texas on anything. I think they're the most hated college brand across the board because I don't know anybody that's not a Texas fan that – I'm okay with Texas. Don't know one.
I've said this before, but when they were handing out rivals when we first started to play the sport, OU got the best draw for a rival. Because like you said, easily hateable, easily triggered as well. I mean, who else has an issue with their hand sign like the University of Texas does?
Worse than the middle finger.
And, you know, for what they're built up to be as a football program, it's not really reality. Yeah. You know, I mean, they had some great runs in the late 60s, early 70s, which Arkansas was a part of a lot of those big games, of course, but just not a whole lot of substance to the extreme hype that happens every single year. So Oklahoma got a good draw there, just easily hateable team, easy to make fun of.
Couldn't think of a better way to end our conversation. Again, Tyler McComas does radio across Norman and Tulsa for the refs, host of The Rush, kind of like our show. Tyler, we appreciate you jumping on with us, man, and I'm curious to see what Brent Venables says later on today.
He took a shot last year at Dion and Mario Cristobal at Big 12 Media Day, so.
I don't know if he'll do that this year. We'll see.
All right, Tyler, thank you.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, we're live from Radio Row at SEC Media Days. Hopefully going to get a chance. Bruce Stanton is in Orlando this morning. Hopefully get a chance to get connected with them. If not, we'll roll on. We'll talk a little Greg Sankey and Lane Kiffin. But for now, we'll do our Morning Rush Daily Question.
All-Star game tonight. Crosstown, Arlington, Texas. How hyped are you for the All-Star? I know we're not the biggest Major League Baseball fans, and I've stated many times that my Razorback baseball fandom has really kind of pruned my baseball watching time. I used to watch the Cardinals and the Braves when I was a kid, but even the All-Star game, does it pique your interest enough tonight that, hey, this is appointment TV for you? Is the All-Star – that's the question. Is the All-Star game appointment TV for you tonight?
No. As Phil Ellison has taught me, it's not I could care less. It's I couldn't care less. This is not something that will even, like, approach something I have to watch. I'm going to go to the media event, whatever that is, probably play some cornhole, eat some food, drink some alcoholic beverages, and then go to bed and not watch a second of the All-Star game tonight. And be perfectly content tomorrow morning.
Probably treetop it, but I remember when this was must-see TV for me, and it's across town. And I said earlier, I figured out the one way I would go. If Jerry Jones would send the helicopter over here, pick me up, carry me over there, and carry me back, I might get in on that deal. But otherwise, I'm 30 minutes from it? Maybe more than that in Dallas traffic, but we're not far. And had a free ticket. I'd rather watch on TV. So I will watch. You know, there's a lot of things going on around the country, news, and, you know, there ain't a lot in sports right now. So there's, you know, there's other things to take hold of, but you know, being in Dallas, you got a major college football event here. You got the All-Star game. That's the difference in the big cities like Dallas and other places. So that's your Morning Rush daily question. Is the All-Star game appointment television for you tonight? It's brought to you by Wills RV, 5 miles west of Exit 72 off of I-49 in Springdale. Great brands like Grand Design, Forest Ridge. They got the Brinkley Model Zs that are there as well, and you can try those out with a lifetime warranty that comes with every new RV they sell with Wills RV. 5 miles west of Exit 72 off of I-49 in Springdale. Seek, explore, discover with our friends at Wills RV.
Bruce is in the Sunshine State this morning in Orlando. Bruce, you got a convention down there or what, man?
Yes, sir. We got the American Sport Fishing Association's annual trade show. There'll be about 12,000 people here buying and selling fishing products. So come on down to see us, Orange County Convention Center, International Drive, Orlando.
Yeah, I've been to that. My daughter recently had back in May, a cheer competition. We've been there a couple times for some national cheer events. I've been on the stump this week that Orlando should become one of the future spots for SEC Media Days. It's got the hotels. It's got the convention space. It's easily accessible. Bruce, I think Orlando would be a great hub for SEC Football Media Days somewhere down the road.
Well, I mean, if you want a bunch of people around in the summer, it's definitely a spot. You know, I think getting places where there's not a lot of tourists would probably be more fun, but it's a draw. I mean, you eat any kind of food you want here, stay in nice hotels. It's a big tourist convention draw, no doubt. Yeah.
And I would think with the SEC's business partnership, business relation with ABC Disney, there could be some neat events set up for the players that come, the coaches that attend, for the attendees. I just think Orlando would be a good spot. You can get there basically from anywhere in the country with one connection.
Yeah, I think we should put Ty at the Wilderness Resort next to three sets of twins in the next room that are bouncing on the beds all night. That'd be a good place
to
stay.
The flight that I took to Tampa, Bruce, there was a screaming child in the back. Is there anything worse, guys, than a screaming child on the plane directly behind you, like directly behind my seat?
Well, when it's your child, it's terrible.
It's worse.
And the older you get, like when you don't have kids at home anymore, that stuff, is, I don't know why, it just seems to bother. It bothers me now. It didn't bother me 30 years ago, but now you hear that stuff a little louder and you just want to.
It'd be fun. Be fun, Atlanta. I would imagine you would like to be here with us this morning. Josh Heupel and his crew will be in here a little bit later this morning. Cooper Mays is going to be one of the featured players with Tennessee. What do you think we'll hear from Josh Heupel today with the Tennessee Volunteers?
Well, you know, Coach Heupel's probably going to talk about his defense a little bit. He's got the number one edge rusher possibly in the country, and James Pierce. Y'all were talking about the video games earlier. He got a 95 rating. Number one edge rusher in the game, so that's pretty cool. I don't even play video games, but I know that. So, you know, he left Nico at home coming off his freshman season, did get to start in the bowl game, but, you know, deferring to upperclassmen, which I think a good coach should do. You know, he's going to talk about giving up less than 5 yards a play last year on his defense, which is the first time since 2009 Tennessee's done that. So, you know, seeing some improvement on defense and, you know, offense. You got Squirrel White and Brew McCoy back. You got Basil transferred in from Tulane, one of their better receivers. So you got a lineman, transferring in from LSU, Hurd, who was on the all-freshman team last year. So, you know, a lot of positive things to talk about on offense and defense for Heupel today.
We were took in this this SEC story Friday Night Lights, or excuse me, Saturday Night Lights thing last night, Bruce, and there were several references to Peyton Manning, T. Martin. You had Archie, of course, but you would have loved it. Really, it really gave a backdrop of what the SEC football was like starting out on Saturday nights and growing the sport with ABC and NBC and CBS as well.
Yeah, I mean, anything talks about the 98 season with T. Martin and winning the championship, I'm usually a sucker for that, so I'd have probably enjoyed that.
Well, so Greg Sankey also spoke yesterday. Tommy referenced, again, Heupel going on today, and I wonder your vantage point with you being down in the Sunshine State. Florida State, Clemson, the possibility of them joining the Big 12. Sankey's already been outspoken on them focusing on the 16. That's what he's saying publicly. What do you think behind closed doors he's having conversation with his leaders about Florida State and Clemson potentially becoming Big 12 members?
I mean, just thinking about it practically, what would Florida State and Clemson really bring to the table? You're not going to get any more TV audience. You've already got, you know, state schools and those two states with South Carolina and Florida. You know, from all sports perspective, I mean, Florida State might add a little bit. Clemson might add a little bit, but I don't know. I think he's playing it right. Stick with the 16. You got Texas and OU coming in. Let's see what this looks like and how the ESPN ratings go now that, you know, the league has gone away from CBS. Just, you know, see what this looks like for a few years. See if you get three teams in the playoff this year.
Maybe you keep your powder dry. If Clemson and Florida State go over there, the ACC will begin to unravel and fall apart. And, you know, you've got all the football brand power you need. Maybe if the ACC starts to come apart, you consider North Carolina and Duke for the basketball branding they would bring in. You know, the guys in bow ties love the academic side of it, and Duke would certainly elevate your academic standards in the conference. Fans don't care about that, but administrators do. So I think if you keep your powder dry and if you have an appetite to expand, I might look at North Carolina and Duke. You add another state, and plus you elevate your basketball brand power as a conference.
Yeah, I think you're commissioner material, Tommy. I mean, you should consider that. But
I'm available for what they need.
You want the salary. You need something in the SEC and North Carolina besides the SEC network. You need North Carolina. And, you know, Duke would be a good play for basketball, the academic institution, and, you know, give Vanderbilt something to look forward to during football, a like-minded institution.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how much appetite there is to grow the league and divide the big revenue pie right now, particularly with revenue sharing, it's on the horizon. Hey, it's warm. We're going to get a little cooler weather. That cool front moving through Arkansas, it's going to be cooler later in the week. If you're fishing after the front moves through, what's the best way to go about it this weekend?
Well, I tell you, I spent a few days with my sales manager, Chad Van Cooten, on the Ouachita River last week. We did the Pine Ridge to Shirley Creek float and caught a lot of smallmouth on Yum Dingers. We were using the 3-incher and wacky rigging them and used the 4-incher on a jig head. But the water's going to be clearing up. You know, that hurricane that came through dropped a lot of water. We had high water, so you could float some of these areas where normally you can't in the summer. The water was still a little stained. I think this week you'll be able to throw tiny torpedoes, rebel pop-ars, booyah boss pops. You'll be able to catch a lot of topwater fish on your floats. But it's a great time to get on a float like the Ouachita River, Kings River. You get in the water, wait a little bit, cool off. And with these cloudier days and cooler temperatures, it's not up in the high 90s. It's in the high 80s instead. You know, it makes a 6-7 hour float a little more bearable. So that'd be my tip this week.
More bearable than these Texas people that are down here?
You know, anything's more bearable.
Not Texas. It's Longhorn people. I should be more specific.
Yeah. Go eat their barbecue and stay away from national anthems at the Texas Rangers ballpark.
Yeesh. Yeesh.
Well, enjoy Orlando, and we'll see you back in the great state of Arkansas when we reconvene next Tuesday with you.
All right, guys. Have fun down there.
All right. Our buddy Bruce Stanton with Pradco Fishing. He's in Orlando at one of the big trade shows. We're in Dallas this morning. Our coverage presented by the Stadium Shop, WT Equipment, and by the Lindbergh Real Estate Group. As the if you're watching on the live stream, you can see it for yourself. And if you're not, you should be. The sun has come up, and it, I mean, when I say right in the eyes, it is we're staring it right in the face again.
Yeah, we are both too lazy to go get our sunglasses out of the car, so we have only ourselves to blame. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
All right, I've been looking forward to this since last night. So we'll start. We'll get to the statement stories in just one sec. Tom and I are sitting on this bus last night coming back from the event. And this guy next to Tom goes, well, Tom lets him go first. And he's like, thank you, man. Well, the bus driver, who happened to be a woman, took offense to that because he thought that the guy that was saying thank you, man, to Tom was referring to her. And she looks at him and is like, what'd you call me? And no, and Tom was like, no, that was directed at me. So that was quite an experience we had yesterday, Tom.
Tom is stirring up trouble.
I thought that was about to be a throwdown. And the poor guy, man, is just being nice as he could to me. But we got that fixed. I didn't know you were going to talk about that on the air today.
We got it resolved a little bit. All right, let's talk about this Nick Saban thing. So Nick Saban, and I thought about this yesterday, and someone made it pretty clear to me after this weekend's events. I understand why security's beefed up a little bit, but Saban didn't have his credential and was not allowed into Radio Row yesterday, Tom.
Saban had quite the day, right? So that happened. And as Laura Rutledge told it last night at the event we went to, that Saban came back to the set and was talking about it and just said he appreciated that young man for doing his job, for preventing Nick Saban from walking in without a credential.
Yeah, so that's one of the stories. Now, you have not heard this story just yet.
Okay.
So this will be a first time for a lot of our listeners as well. Wally's going to have a column up. It might already be up as of this morning. Okay, on Whole Hog Sports. You give the second person, give us the perspective that Wally told you on another interaction with Nick Saban.
I'll try to condense it the best I can. Yesterday morning, I showed up at our spot in the main media room, and Wally asked me, how did you sleep? And I could see he kind of wanted to talk about how he slept. So I just said, pretty good, pretty good. I said, how did you sleep? Well, at 7:30, someone's trying to get in my room. He actually said 7:32. Someone's trying to get in my room. So he gets up out of bed with his boxers and goes and looks out the peephole, and it's Nick Saban.
That's hilarious.
So Nick Saban has been given the wrong key. And they have this exchange, basically Nick Saban saying, you know, you're in the wrong, or making it feel like Wally's in the wrong room. And Wally's like, I'm Wally Hall, you're Nick Saban, this is my room. You can read all about it in Wally's column today. And a great case of mistaken identity. And it would have played well on like an episode of Three's Company, Tommy, from back in the day.
Listen, I don't care who's in the wrong. If Wally's standing in front of me and nothing but his boxers, I'm out. I'm back to the front desk. I need another room. Even if that is my room, I'm still out. Listen, I don't even need coffee that morning. I need an antacid. If all I've got in front of me is Wally Hall in his boxer shorts, I'm out on that deal.
Well, just to clarify, the security latch caught the door, so all you had was a crack.
That doesn't make as good a story. But, and I don't want to hear anything about his crack. So.
Just a crack in the door was all they could see through. But Nick is like, what's going on in there? Like, wait a second. It's my room, man, okay? And so he got that resolved, comes back down, tries to get in, gets his credential denied. So what a day for Nick Saban.
Well, he's used to having handlers. He's used to people opening the door for him. He's used to people, you know, going through. Well, first of all, maybe Wally is staying in the penthouse suite, but I would imagine he's not, knowing you know, just how things work in this media business. So the fact that, Nick Saban was trying to get into a commoner's room tells you all you need to know about who was in the right or the wrong.
So, it made for a great column, and yeah. I got lots of laughs out of that one.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban's used to having the whole floor to himself in a hotel, so it's certainly a different deal. All right, you sat through the entire day, four coaches and a commissioner yesterday in the main media room. What stood out to you in day one of SEC Media Days?
Well, Greg Sankey had to address, you know, what's going on in college athletics. You got this big settlement that's on the brink of happening, and then what does that do? It leads directly to revenue sharing. And obviously there are not answers right now. And so he's brought up the point, you know, there's no easy button. And to me that stood out. I mean, he had to say that several times. And we really don't know what will become of NIL after this. Is it still a thing? So that was one. You know, Lane Kiffin, I think there's a segment of people who think of him in a certain way, but with his father passing, to hear him kind of give a short testimonial about his father yesterday was touching. And they've built a pretty good monster there at Ole Miss. But what I like about it is Arkansas's beat them twice, and really two of the games in Oxford last year and then 3 years ago. If Arkansas converts a 2-point play on the last play of the game,
yeah.
They're 3-1 against Ole Miss. So that's how close Arkansas is to maybe being in the same kind of boat Ole Miss is.
And I like where Arkansas's at on Ole Miss's schedule following OU and ahead of, I think it's A&M or Florida. Right. They've got a tough stretch in there. And, you know, it's easy to say Arkansas is the easiest game of like a four-game stretch, but they've got to go on the road to Arkansas after playing Oklahoma. I like where Arkansas is at in the schedule where Ole Miss's stretch is very difficult in that back half.
I wholly agree with you, because the first half is the easy part. And I looked at Missouri's yesterday. Missouri's whole schedule is the easy part. But anyway, you're right. Not a lot of tough games in the first six, maybe an open date, and then Oklahoma and then Arkansas. And how often do we say it sets up well for Arkansas? This is one of those rare years where things do – the schedule's a little bit more forgiving, I guess.
Yeah, you don't really naturally have like a solid locked-in home win because of the potent, but your road games are first-year coach in Mike Elko and Jerry World, first-year coach in Jeff Lebby in Mississippi State. Missouri is not going to be easy. They have the easiest schedule in the SEC, as you just referred to. And Auburn, which is in year two of Hugh Freeze, that's not murderer's row compared to going on the road to Georgia or Florida in years past. It does set up from a road vantage point.
You know, there's so much turnover with personnel, so there's a lot of unanswered questions that we're going to have. But you're right. If they could catch a break or two that they just haven't been, maybe they can win a road game or two. And then just, you know, make it a better season, because I think the fans are wanting to see like a return to 2021 where you're upsetting people.
So we were talking about Nick Saban earlier. Lane Kiffin not only made reference to his late father, Monty, but he also made reference to Coach there talking about rat poison. There's a lot of rat poison surrounding Ole Miss this year based on who they brought in, the expectations. I think they're probably either going to be picked third or second in the SEC, to be frankly honest. How do you think Lane handles that with differently being the hunted rather than the hunter?
Yes, a quite different position than Ole Miss is used to. I think I've got Lindy's magazine. They have him fifth in the country. So, I mean, this is big-time rat poison for them. When you have a quarterback of Jackson Dart's stature who's already produced in the system, and then you fill in with a lot of good receivers. Now, they do have to build back up at running back after losing Quinshon Judkins, but they brought a lot of portal talent, and Walter Nolan on the D front is going to be one of probably the best interior guys in the conference this year. They got Chris Paul at linebacker, so the pieces are in place. If there's harmonious, togetherness on the team, that they could be very good.
Tom Murphy with us here live from Radio Row. It's presented by the Arkansas Beef Council. Yesterday, I thought the questioning was fairly benign. We haven't seen any what I'd call hot seat coaches. Won't see any today. Sam's going to be here on Thursday. Job security and future certainly inbounds when talking about Arkansas's head football coach. Do you think the questions go there? Yesterday there wasn't a need for it with the coaches you had in front of it. Won't think we will hear it today, but Sam's on that short list of coaches that the future's uncertain in this league.
Absolutely. Him, Billy Napier, with the Florida's brutal schedule coming up this year and what they went through last year. I actually feel for them how tough their schedule is. And then Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. I mean, that was at the end of the day yesterday, and just not a whole lot.
No one's hyper-focused on the job security of the Vanderbilt.
No, they're really not, but he's obviously on that hot seat. I would think that when we have our morning beat writers type get together, that we'll ask Sam those. So it might take a national or just somebody who's interested in Arkansas program to ask Sam at the main podium about, you know, getting through last year when they were so tough in the early and mid part, and then had the blowouts at home, and then just a very, very ugly performance against Mississippi State at home.
And I can't imagine those questions would blindside him or you know, surprise him to get those. Surely that, you know, he's prepared himself mentally on how he wants to respond. And kind of the unusual dynamic is I think a vast majority of the fan base want him to succeed. They like Sam Pittman. They want him to be the coach for the next 2, 3, 4 years, but you got to win to stay.
You do. And I think I've talked to you guys about this a little bit, but I just think it's so important for Sam Pittman, for the state to like him, you know, for people to look at him and want to look him in the eye and see and acknowledge that he's doing a good job. He's doing the best he can. So 21, you know, he was very happy. As he said, Arkansas fans can stick their chest out, be happy that what we did. They won all their trophy games and a bowl. They haven't won a trophy game since then. And so he knows that there was negativity late last year. I think when it's all said and done, he would like to go to Hot Springs and be thought of more as a guy who got Arkansas football to a certain place, and they're proud of what he did, as opposed to he retired after a couple of really bad years or was fired.
And if you told me the 50-50 plays this year go his way in enough games to get him to 8-4, and he retired and walked away on 8-4, I wouldn't be floored by that outcome.
Absolutely not. That might be a best-case scenario type thing for him. Right. And why would that not be in the realm of possibility? Because I think the finish line for him was in sight when he got the head coaching job at Arkansas. You know, like, okay, here's my glide path toward retirement. Now he's getting the huge money, and so at any time, you know, if he has a big season, maybe he would consider that.
Well, I'm talking with Tom Murphy live at Radio Row. One of the reasons you were so good in 2021 is you had an All-American wide receiver and NFL guy in Treylon Burks. Tom, again, we're 44 days out, I believe, till UAPB in Little Rock. What does that wide receiver core look like coming back with 93% of their pass catching? I mean, what are you forecasting with Bobby Petrino this year?
Well, I think you're going to see a heavy dose of the guys we know are going to catch. Yeah, Andrew Armstrong, he may not be quite Treylon Burks, but he makes one-handers. He makes them in traffic, on the sideline. He's got the whole package. I just think that we're going to see, because of speed, if you get the ball to the speed guy, and this is where Dan Enos absolutely failed last year, Isaiah Cetania, we saw all during camp and during practices, he was getting the ball on tunnel screens and all these things that if you get the ball in his hands, he might break. And it didn't happen in games. And that's what you heard Sam Pittman utter, that frustration late in the year. We're not doing what we're practicing.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see him get in. I think we're going to see young C.J. Brown catch a few passes like that.
That kid can play.
He can't. And then when you're doing that and you're successful, maybe your safety start creeping up and then you can get better one-on-one coverage with Armstrong and the others.
So as much as I'd like to think that Arkansas has a chance to play in Atlanta, it's not going to happen this year. I think probably the thing I took away from Greg saying the most yesterday is still don't really know what the SEC tiebreaker is going to be, right? I mean, we're in July. It's July the 16th, and we're only a few months away from the SEC championship, and we haven't finalized that yet with a 16-team non-division league.
When that question was asked, I'm like you, Tom. I was a little bit floored, I didn't know this.
But you've got two new league members that need to vote on that just became members 16 days ago, whatever it is now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in fairness, would you want to vote on a tiebreaker affecting this season when they didn't have the right to vote until July the 1st?
Yes.
So
it should have been hazy. They shouldn't have been allowed to vote on anything.
I understand that, but I think something as important as a tiebreaker system has to be done with your full body, and I think that's one of the reasons that probably hasn't been completely
finalized.
That's
a very logical answer, and considering Texas might be one of those teams, that's probably probably a reasonable response.
It's a fair point, too.
He said they were going to have an AD's Zoom meeting in two weeks. So.
Yeah.
If you don't have the clear-cut head-to-head, and then you – I think the next one you would have to be your record against the top – you know what I mean? Your combined record against the top team and start going down from there. And then if there's some ties there, I think you got to go with, strength of schedule, the computer formula stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, Tom, it's going to be an interesting next few days. Arkansas's on the final day, and we'll await Sam Pittman and his three players and really get to know more about Traylon Green this week. So.
Yeah, we will. He seems like the team really likes Traylon Green, and the times we talked to him in the spring, he seems like a cool dude.
The seventh fastest quarterback on NCAA football. The seventh fastest. Yeah. So he's got that going for him.
Of the three of us, Ty was the one to know that one.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Tom Murphy, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Whole Hog Sports with us every Tuesday and Thursday on the Morning Rush. Tom, good to see you in person.
Same here, guys.
All right, Tom Murphy here from Radio Row.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.